I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. A very, very special welcome to all our guests, our visitors. May the Lord be with you, and we pray that the Lord will bless you in a very special way so that at the conclusion of this worship service, you will also be able to say along with us that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And a welcome back to all those who have traveled. So good all to see you in the house of the Lord today. And yesterday we were very thrilled to see so many new friends coming to the kids club. Now the Lord has sent the children in answer to our prayers. But we must continue to pray if we want the Lord to continue to prosper our kids club. Let's continue to pray. Pray that the Lord will bless the teachers with hearts of love and a concern for the children, so that they will pray for the salvation of the children, and they will continue to pray for the spiritual growth of the children. And pray that parents may be mindful to send their children to come to participate in our children's activities. And we thank God for those who have been very evangelistic, who have gone out to invite their children to come, and they have come. So let's continue to pray that the Lord will be very, very gracious to bless our kids club, our children's ministry. And it is very, very important that this ministry continue to grow and continue to be prospered. Did you realize that if they don't come, this church will fizzle out? Because in time, there will be nobody, there aren't people coming to this church if there are no children who are going to grow up to fill the pews in this church. So let's remember, continue to pray that the Lord will bless the children's ministry. Now, the topic today is Jesus seen through me? Is Jesus seen through me? We are talking about confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior publicly. Now, in the book of Matthew, Jesus wants those who appear to be performing wondrous works, performing signs and wonders, and but who were actually not doing the will of the Heavenly Father. They think that they are believers. They think that they are safe, but the Lord has this to say for them. He says that on the day of judgment, this is what I'm going to say to you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, I'd like to read this passage from the Gospel of Matthew so that you will know that these are the very words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I read to you from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. I read this, 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now that is the emphasis. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the basis for entering into the kingdom of God is doing the will of the Heavenly Father. Only those who do his will have this privilege of being part of the kingdom of God and doing his will. Now, doing his will definitely includes confessing him. Confessing him as our Lord and Savior, not just privately, but publicly as well. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says this in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Actually, we read the parallel passage earlier on in Luke chapter 12. But never mind, let me read to you Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. The Lord says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. The Lord's will is for us to confess him. If we are truly his, we must confess him, because that is his will. Now, on the day of judgment, we are going to expect the Lord to confess us as his brethren, as his brothers and his sisters. And for that was what he said to the women folk who were near his tomb on the first Sunday on which our Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. And the group would have included the Mary Magdalene and another Mary and possibly a couple of other women. The Lord says this to these women folk. He said this, "Be not afraid," because they were shocked, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren," he said, "go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." So the Lord referred to his disciples as his brethren. So we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, or brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he is our eldest brother, you might say, in the sense that he is the firstborn from the dead. He was the first one to rise up from the dead and never to die again. And someday all of us will follow suit. We'll die, buried, and then we'll rise up again, just as Jesus rose up from the dead. So he's our eldest brother in that sense. Now, if we are truly believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, if we are truly believers, the Lord says that he will not be ashamed of us. Yes, on that day of judgment, he will not be ashamed of us. I read you this verse, a very, very wonderful, comforting verse to all of us who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one." He that sanctifieth refers to Jesus. He sanctifies, he makes us holy. And those of us who are sanctified, those who are made holy by him, are one. Yes, he's the head. We are part of his body, so in that sense, we are one. "For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." He's not ashamed to refer to us as his brethren. On the day when we appear before the one true living God, the Lord will be very proud of us, not ashamed to call us his brethren. So we expect him to confess us as his brethren, his brothers and sisters in him. But friends, the question is, we expect him to confess us, but would he confess us? That is the question. But would we be in for a shock? Would we be in for a shock? My dear friends, we definitely will be in for a shock if we fail to confess him on this earth, if we deny him on this earth. Because if we didn't confess him, if we deny him, his word says it very clearly, he will not confess us before the Heavenly Father, and he will deny us before the Heavenly Father. So friends, let us be sure that we truly are confessing him as our Lord and Savior, publicly. Then we sing this hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And so we make this assumption, Jesus is my friend. Yes, and then on the day of judgment, we expect the Lord Jesus Christ to identify us as his friends, and that he will confess us as his friends. For did not he say this to the disciples just before he was arrested, on the evening before he was arrested? He said this to his disciples, "You are my friends." You see, he referred to his disciples as my friends. After he rose up from the dead, he referred to them as his brethren. But before he was arrested, he referred to them as his friends. "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Previously he referred to them as his servants, but now he refers to them as his friends. And so, my dear friends, since we say that we are his brethren, or since we are believers in him, since we are followers of him, we should at least be referred to as his friends. On the day of judgment, surely he will look at us and say that, "Well, these are my friends. Yes, my friends." But friends, again, would we not be in for a shock? We could be. We could be going in for a shock, because on that day he might not very well confess us to be his friends. In fact, my dear friends, he might say this to us, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You denied me when you were on earth. Now I deny you before the Heavenly Father." Yes, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ might not have been our friend at all while we were on this earth. We were his enemies. We were truly never reconciled to the one true living God. We have never truly repented from our sins, and we have never experienced the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, who gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. And so, because of that, my dear friends, we are truly not his friends, because if we have experienced his cleansing power, we will definitely confess our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ publicly as our Lord and Savior. So we say, okay, all right, he would not confess me as his brother or his sister. He would not confess me as his friend. But surely he will confess me to be his servant. Yes, I'm his servant. But friends, I'm sorry to say that he might also not be confessing us as his servants, because if we were his servants, we would be producing good works. Now, the good works that we produce would include our confessing him publicly as Lord and Savior. Remember this truth: faith without works is dead. Yes? So we say that if that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our belief in him should result in our confessing him as our Lord and Savior. So, my dear friends, I ask you, I ask myself, do we publicly confess our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? This preacher by the name of George Pentecost told of a timid little girl who said to a leader at a gospel meeting, he said this to him, he made this request of him, say, will you pray for me at the meeting? Please, but do not mention my name. Do not mention my name. Then, so when every head was bowed and there was perfect silence, this leader prayed for this little girl. He prayed, oh Lord, there is a little girl here who does not want her name known, but thou knowest her, save her precious soul. So this leader prayed. Then after a moment of silence, there was a little voice coming back from the rear of the congregation, the voice of this little girl. She said, please, it's me, Jesus, it is me. She did not want to have any doubt at all with regards to her salvation. She wanted to be saved. And so finally, she was not ashamed to confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Jesus, it is me. Friends, we must confess our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, if we truly are believers. But the question is, how do we confess him? How? Now, I'm going to talk about the ABC of confessing the Lord. A is acknowledging him with our mouth. Acknowledging him with our mouth. Number two is being baptized. Number three is by our consistent Christian living, a life that is consistent with the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The ABC of our confession. Now we confess him by acknowledging him with our mouth. The Word of God in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 11 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. My dear friends, there is a need for us to confess him with our mouth. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So it is normal. If we truly believe that the Lord died for us, and that he rose up from us for us, as a result of which he caused us to be born again, we must necessarily, normally, and confess him as our Lord and Savior. Because we have been born into God's family. We are born again. And so it will be very, very unnatural, abnormal, unthankful on our part, my dear friends, if we do not want people to know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Isn't it right? Yes? If we are truly born again, we truly belong to his family, then we must want to confess him as Lord and Savior. Now, if you do not want to confess him, what it means is you are ashamed. You are ashamed of Jesus. You are ashamed of your Savior. You are like that young boy who was very ashamed of his mother and didn't want to be seen with his mother. Why? Because his mother was ugly. Yes, her face was disfigured by burn scars. And so this boy didn't want to be seen with his mother because mother was ugly. But the question is, how did mother get those burn scars? Now, mother got those burn scars because there was a day when this boy was little, he was in a house that was burning. Mother rushed into the house to save this boy, as a result of which she was burned very badly. This boy ought to be confessing his mother as his savior. My mother saved me from that house fire. But friends, he just was too ashamed to confess his mother as his savior. My dear friends, are we ashamed of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Let's not be ashamed of him, my dear friends. Let us truly confess him as our Lord and Savior. Now, it is true, the world does not see beauty in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's absolutely true. The word of God in Isaiah 53 says this: he has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, this is how the world sees him. The world sees no beauty in him. They see him with unspiritual eyes. But dear friends, you and I who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ must see the Lord differently. We must see him just as the psalmist sees him. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, verse 4, I read for you, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." To what? To do what? Dwell in the house of the Lord. To do what? To behold the beauty of the Lord. To see the beauty of the Lord. As far as the psalmist is concerned, the Lord is beautiful, and to inquire in his temple. Now today, of course, it is not possible for us to see the beauty of the Lord in perfection. Right? We can't see his beauty perfectly. But my dear friends, there's one thing that we must know, and that is that our Lord is beautiful in his holiness. Yes? That he is absolutely holy and he's absolutely beautiful in his holiness. That's why we have this verse here: worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Our Lord is beautiful in his holiness. So instead of being ashamed of him, let's confess him. Let us broadcast to the world that this God of ours, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is beautiful, and he's beautiful in his holiness. Now we are his redeemed. Redeemed from sin, redeemed from Satan, redeemed from the clutch of Satan, redeemed from hell. And my dear friends, being redeemed, we must not keep quiet. So his word says in Psalm 107, verse 2. You know, Psalms have got very, very beautiful words. The psalmist says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you have been redeemed, say so. "Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." My dear friends, if we can keep quiet about the fact that the Lord has saved us, something is seriously wrong with our salvation. Maybe it's because we have never experienced salvation. That is why, my dear friends, we are able to keep quiet concerning our salvation. Or because we are secret believers. My dear friends, but I want to tell you this, there is no such a thing as a secret believer. I refer you to this man called Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a Jewish religious leader. He was a Pharisee. One night he came and saw Jesus because he didn't want to be seen by his fellow Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees, that he was meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as it were, he had this secret meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ because he wanted to find the way of salvation. And our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, could read his heart very well. And the Lord then very, very graciously said this to him: "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now this Pharisee eventually came to believe. We do not know exactly when he came to believe, possibly shortly after that, or maybe at that meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to believe and he was born again. But there was one problem with him. He was too timid to make his faith public. He didn't dare confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he wanted to remain a secret believer. But as a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he could not keep his faith secret forever. So after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he very, very courageously identified himself with our Lord. Now he, together with another man, another Pharisee, by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was also a Jewish religious leader, a Pharisee, who was a secret believer. And he came and took the body of the Lord Jesus Christ down from the cross. And so we read this in John chapter 19, verses 38 and 39. I think it's good for us to look at these two verses, all right? Okay, to tell us that there is no such a thing as a secret believer, okay? John 19:38 and 39. All right, John 19:38 and 39. All right, let me read these two verses for you now. John 19:38. And after this, Jesus was still on the cross, right? Still hanging on the cross. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Now, in other words, he came and pleaded with Pilate to allow him to take the body of Jesus away. Now, how could a person beseech without opening his mouth? Could he? He could not. Yes? So, I'm sure there must have been some conversation between Pilate and Joseph of Arimathea and so forth. Joseph of Arimathea could not help it but identify himself with the Lord. And so Pilate gave him leave, gave him permission. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also another man. Who was this man? Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 100 pound weight. So you see, he also identified himself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and publicly too. So really there is no such a thing as a secret believer. My dear friends, we must confess Christ just as Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea did. Realize this, there is no such a thing as a secret believer. We must therefore pray for boldness to confess him. My dear friends, if we have been very, very quiet about our salvation, let's not be quiet anymore. Let's confess our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ publicly. Now look at the example of the testimony of the disciples of the Lord. Think of these two disciples, Peter and John. Yes, they were arrested by the Jewish religious leaders, and they were hauled before them and to be tried by them. Now, were they ashamed of the Lord, Jesus Christ? No, my dear friends, they were completely fearless. And so, when they were threatened by the Jewish religious leader not to continue to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, if they were to continue to preach Jesus, they would be punished. Well, what did they say? All right, they said this. I read for you. And they called them, meaning the leaders of the Jews, called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So how could they be that way? How could it be that they could not help it but speak the things which they had seen and heard? How could they be in that position? They were, my dear friends. You know why? Because they were filled with God's Holy Spirit. You remember on the day of Pentecost, my dear friends, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And these disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ continued to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. That is why they were so bold in confessing the Lord Jesus. So how can we be bold to confess the Lord? My dear friends, we must ask for the filling of God's Holy Spirit. There is simply no other way for us to be bold. By your own strength, by my own strength, we will not be able to be bold to confess the Lord. We must be filled with God's Holy Spirit, and then we will be bold in confessing him. Yes, we must allow the Holy Spirit to control us, to govern us, to guide us, to give us the word, so that we will be bold to confess the Lord. Now we might ask, would we be disadvantaged if we were to confess Christ? What do you think? Would we be disadvantaged? The answer is yes. from the world's standpoint, it would be a disadvantage to confess Christ. We could be laughed at, we could be ridiculed, we could be persecuted. I still remember, I think I told you this before, when I was a school teacher, I used to carry my Bible to school, and my Bible was in my bag, together with all the exercise books that I marked, so my Bible was in my bag most of the times. I brought my Bible to school because there were occasions when I participated in Bible study with my students. And then there was one teacher, my fellow teacher, who always loved to poke fun at me and my belief, and poke fun at me. One day he did something that was really could be quite embarrassing for me if my skin wasn't thick. What he did was he rummaged my bag, he took out my Bible, and then in front of everybody in the teacher's common room, you know, in Singapore we have this common room, we call it a common room, in which all the teachers will sit at their tables to mark their books and talk and so forth. In front of everybody, he took out my Bible and he read from the Old Testament loud and clear to everybody. I don't know which passage he read, but he read this, "Thus saith the Lord." The whole intent was to ridicule me. But have you ever been ridiculed before? Friends, it's to be expected if you are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today we don't have persecutions that involve the shedding of blood and that involve beatings. But persecution upon us can come in some very subtle ways. I said this before, sometimes it could be a situation in which you miss a promotion opportunity. There's a position, but then people think that you are too honest to tell lies, and therefore you cannot be promoted into that position. They say this fellow is a Christian. This position might require the person to tell some lies. Because he's a Christian, he's too honest to tell lies, and therefore we cannot promote him. As a result of which, we are bypassed for the promotion. And that is a possibility. But you know, the Lord promises us that we will be blessed if we are persecuted. The Lord says so. The word blessed means to be made happy. We will be made happy if we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's what the Lord says. That's what he promises. And he says so in his Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12, I read these verses for you. He says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If we are persecuted, my dear friends, good for us. Yes, because it shows that we are in the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord also says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Yes, great will be your reward in heaven. Yes, we might be persecuted now, but the Lord says, great will be your reward in heaven. Now, if we are afraid to confess Christ and try to be secret believers, I can tell you we will be living lives that are very, very miserable. There was a young lady who was converted, and then she went home and told her parents that she had now become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Her parents were furious. Yes, they posed great opposition to her belief. And this young lady wanted to attend church very much. So every Lord's Day, she aimed to attend church. But then she was very, very afraid to infuriate her parents. And so she lied. Every Sunday, she told a lie. She said, "Oh, I'm going somewhere else, but not to church." Every Sunday, she told a lie, the same lie. Now, what kind of joy would she have? No joy at all. What great joy, what great peace she would have if up front she were to tell her parents, "Mom and Dad, I've now come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And every Lord's Day, I'm going to the house of the Lord to worship Him." If she took that position, she could be persecuted, but she would have joy and peace in her heart. Tell the world that Jesus is your Savior. You'll be laughed at possibly, you'll be persecuted, but friends, if you are steadfast in the faith, in time, people are going to respect you because of the position that you hold. And then when it comes to trusting people with integrity, whom do you think they will turn to, my dear friends? They will turn to you. They say, this person can be trusted. This Christian can be trusted because you are steadfast in your faith. Yes, and you are consistent in the way you live your life, consistent with your profession of faith. They will trust you. They will identify you as one who is trustworthy. Now, how else may we confess the Lord? Now we come to the letter B. We confess him by being baptized. Now you look at the crowd of Jews that went to the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Yes, it was a Jewish festival, the day of Pentecost. So you look around, whom do you see? Jews and Jews and Jews, all Jews. Now let us understand, my dear friends, the significance of baptism to the Jews, all right? Now, all of them, all of the Jews, as I said, all the people in the city of Jerusalem were Jews, and among them, there were those who were, a great number of them were opposed to, was opposed to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these were the ones Peter identified as murderers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said this, you are the one who took him and you slew him. You are murderers. And that was what he said to them on the day of Pentecost when he preached the gospel message to them. You are murderers, but the one you killed rose up from the dead. Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. And so when the Jews heard this gospel message preached by the Lord Jesus, preached by Peter and his fellow apostles, many were pricked in the heart. Yes? And we read this in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. I read for you these two verses. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. All right. If you truly believe in Jesus, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You will receive the gift of everlasting life. Yes, repent. If you truly believe in him, confess him in holy baptism. Now, do you not think that among them, those people who were pricked in the heart, there were those who looked around. They were pricked in the heart. They felt guilty, but they looked around. Whom do they see? As we said, Jews, 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 and Jews. Oh, Jews. Ah, then they say, ah, I better not be baptized. If I were to tell the world, tell these fellow Jews that I'm baptized, I am in actual fact identifying Jesus to be the Messiah, the promised Messiah. I will be in serious trouble. Yes, I will be persecuted by my fellow Jews. I better not be baptized. Possible there were such people. Then there were others who were pricked in their hearts. And then this was what they would have said to themselves. This is a matter of life and death. Yes, Jesus is true. He is indeed the promised Messiah who had come. I must confess him as my Lord and Savior. And even if I'm going to be persecuted, so be it. I will confess him. So what did they do? They subjected themselves to be baptized. So on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they were baptized. Yes. They confess Jesus through baptism. So you see the significance of baptism to the Jews. Yes, if they were baptized, they might very well be persecuted. And yet they were prepared to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior through baptism. Now let's understand, baptism does not save. The thief on the cross was baptized, but was not baptized. He was not baptized, but he was saved. But baptism, my dear friends, is the outward confession of the grace of salvation that has been done in our hearts. Yes, this work of salvation has been done in our hearts. So we want to tell the world that we have this Savior who has done this wonderful work in our hearts. How do we do it? By God's ordained method, and that is through holy baptism. Now, my dear friends, those of us here who have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you profess to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are not baptized yet. I have to ask you, why are you not baptized? When the Lord gave this great commission, he gave his great commission, he gave this command. He told those, his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptize them. What it means is they go out and baptize. They obey the Great Commission, they go out to baptize. And we, my dear friends, if we believe, might we also have to obey the commandment to be baptized. My dear friends, so if you do not want to be baptized, I have to ask you this question. Why are you not willing to be baptized? Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember what the Lord says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So if you are not baptized, why not? Now we confess, let's confess Christ by our consistent Christian living. Our life must be consistent with our profession of faith. Now if we are believers, we said that we should not be afraid to confess Christ with our mouth. We must be bold enough to be baptized. But friends, just as important is that we must live a life that is consistent with the profession of our faith, consistent with the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul told the Christians in the city of Corinth, he wrote this to them and he said to them, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men." You are our epistle. You are our letters. Paul says you are our letters in our heart. Yes, known and read of all men. You must present your testimony clearly so that everybody can read you, that you are really true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when they see you, they have no doubt that you are true believers in him. Now suppose I'm important enough, not that I'm really important, but let's say I'm important enough for people to want to write profiles of me. And then let's say there are three persons, all right, maybe eminent writers or reporters who want to write about me and they want to profile me. Now, and each one of them is supposed to write independently of one another, without prejudice, for or against me. Now, what would they say of me? Would they say, number one, this person is like his master, Jesus Christ? Or would they say, number two, this person is nothing but a hypocrite? He doesn't practice what he preaches. Or number three, he's like any person in the world, the same as any person in the world. He has got the same sense of values, he's got the same kind of lifestyle, he has the same hopes, same fears, same everything. He uses the same language and so forth. Friends, what kind of profile would I get? Or what kind of profile will you get from people if they were to profile you? Would they say that you are like the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we must have heard of very scandalous behavior of TV evangelists as they profess to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would use very holy verbiage, the kind of verbiage that we find in the Bible. But their lifestyles are very scandalous. They indulge in Hollywood lifestyle, they commit adultery, and then they siphon money from the funds that have been given to the organizations that these TV evangelists are leading, and into their own private accounts. We say that these people cannot be Christians because their lifestyle, the way they live, is not consistent with their profession of faith. And we are probably right. How sure, my dear friends, how sure are we that we are consistent with our profession of faith, that what our lifestyle is very, very consistent with the teachings of the Word of God? My dear friends, let's apply two tests to ourselves. Test number one is holy living. The Lord says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Let us never think that holiness is only for preachers, holiness is only for ministers, holiness is only for pastors, holiness is only for missionaries. But friends, holiness is for every one of us. Jesus said, the Lord says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Yes, now let's remember this. When the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord saves us, he actually started the sanctification process right away, at the very, very beginning. I read for you these precious words from the book of Thessalonians. Maybe we should look at this first. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, let me read for you. All right, let me read. But Paul was writing to the Christians at Thessalonica. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He chose you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit who made you holy. That is why you could become a child of God, you understand? Chose you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. He caused you to be holy so that you could be a child of God. And as of that day, he began this process of sanctification also. So that as we live our lives, we should become more and more and more holy, more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, how does he sanctify us? Through the Holy Spirit, through the instrument of his word. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, sanctify them to thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Holy Spirit, my dear friends, causes us to be holy by making use of his word as we read it, to cause us to be more and more holy. Now, I think lots of times we are ashamed to be holy. We then be different from people in the world. The truth is, we might want to be like them. We want to think like them, we want to act like them, where we want to talk like them, we want to dress like them. My dear friends, and we want to have their values also, their sense of values. My dear friends, if we want to blend with the world, the question is, on the day of reckoning when we stand before the Lord, yes, when we call unto the Lord, 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 will he say to me, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity? Or will he say to me, you are mine, I own you, you are mine? Will he say that to us, or will he say, I never knew you? Now listen to what the writer of the book of James said. All right, today I ask you to refer to a few verses. I'd like you to refer to this verse also, because it is very, very pertinent with regards to our Christian living. All right? James 4:4. All right, let's read this verse together. James 4:4. E adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, do we understand these words? The word of God says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, these adulteresses and adulteresses are not the people who commit physical adultery. But these adulterers and adulteresses refer to people who commit spiritual adultery. They love the world more than they love God. They are supposed to love God, but they love the world more than they love God. And then the word of God serves this warning to us. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? In other words, we are in a state of being enemies of God. If we are friends of the world, that's the position that we are in. And the writer of the book of James says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So whom do we identify with, or what do we identify with? The world or the Lord Jesus Christ? If we are friends of the world, we are enemies of God. Now the next test we need to apply is this. Do we love the Lord? Do we love as the Lord loves? Do we love as he loves? The gospel, the letter of 1 John chapter 3 verse 11 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now the word love spoken of is not something that is theoretical. It is practical love. And so the Apostle John gives this example. He says that if somebody, a brother or a sister, is in need, and you have the means to help that person, but if you withhold your means to help that person, John says that you are not showing love. If you really love, then you will express your love by your practical giving. Now, so this love that we talk about is not theoretical love. It is love demonstrated in a very practical way. So, my dear friends, if we want to be very consistent in our Christian living, apply these two tests to ourselves. Number one, are we becoming holy as the Lord wants us to be holy? Number two, do we love as the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to love? Now, one servant of the Lord, Roland Hill, remarked, he says this, when a person becomes a Christian, even his dog or cat should know it. True or false? Even his cat should know it. His dog or cat should know it. My dear friends, if he's truly converted, he should be kinder to his animals than before he was converted. Before his conversion, when he had a bad day in the office, when he came back from the office, he might just kick his dog. But now that he's converted, he's different. All right, he loves his dog. My dear friends, by the grace of God, let us become more holy as he wants us to be, and let us be more loving as he wants us to be. So friends, if he is truly our Savior, we must confess him. There is no such a thing as a secret believer. So how do we confess him? The ABC of confession, number one, we confess him by acknowledging him with our mouth. Number two, we confess him through holy baptism. And baptism is a confession of the work of salvation that the Lord has done in our heart. It is an outward confession of what the Lord has done in our heart. Even the work of grace, the work of salvation. We want to know that the Lord has saved us. We want the world to know that the Lord has saved us. And so we go through this ceremony known as baptism. And finally, we confess him through our consistent Christian living. Our lives must show that we are truly believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we just talk, we profess our faith in him, but we do not walk the talk, we are nothing but hypocrites. Friends, the world must see the Lord Jesus Christ through us. Has someone ever told you that you are different from people in the world? Has someone ever said this? I hope that someone has ever said this to you, that you are different from people in the world. Now, if we are the same, and if we are no different from people in the world, remember the words of the book of James. Remember, the writer of the book of James says, friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Are we a friend of God, or are we an enemy of God? Friendship of the world is enemy. Being friends of the world, you are an enemy of God. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you have chosen us and you have saved us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We pray that your people here may be daring enough to confess you publicly, through our mouth, through holy baptism, and also by our consistent Christian living. Help us, O Lord God, every day to witness a good confession wherever we may be, whether it be in our office, in our school, in the uni that we are in, or, Lord, at our workplace. We pray that we may do well for you. And even in our home, Lord, we pray that we may be good witnesses for you. Teach us, O Lord God, that we know this truth very, very clearly, that if we confess you, you will confess us. If you deny us, deny you, you will deny us. And help us also always to remember this truth, that friendship of the world is enmity with you. So, Lord, enable us to be the witnesses that you want us to be. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.